to say. I must be on my way, so buy me a pair of whiskey cards. Far away, I'd like to think of me returning when I can to the greatest little boozer and to Sally McLennan. The years went by and spice and shines, I grew to be a man. I learned to love the virtues of six Sally McLennan. I took the cheers and drank the beers and crawled back home at dawn. I ended up a barman in the morning. I played the pump and took the hump and watered whiskey down. I took the booze and horses through the men and drank the brown. I heard the sight that Jimmy's making money far away. Some people left for heaven without warning. We walked into the station in the rain. We kissed him as we put him on the train. And we sang them a song of times long gone. Though we knew that we'd be seeing them again.
Okay, welcome to your next to last class then on British popular culture since 1945, and particularly today popular music. And I started off with it by just playing you a short extract from a couple of English folk songs. So hello everybody. If you have a camera and you don't have too many cats, animals, or children, do put your camera on, please. Thank you. Okay, so what I'm going to do in the last couple of weeks, including in the videos, is look at popular music. Now, I certainly don't have time to give you the history of popular music since 1945 in Britain, and also there's large areas about it which I know very little about. Hello there. So what I'm going to do is look at a small number of genres of music. Remember that the word genre in French has two different meanings, just type, like genre musical, and also genre as in male and female. Well, in English we use two different words for these things. Genre as in male and female is gender, male, female, trans, etc. This is gender, whereas we use the French word genre to talk about musical types, rock, reggae, drum and bass, rap, folk, bhangra, big band, skiffle, rock and roll, punk rock. These are all genres. And genres is the best way that we have found to be able to look at popular music, because otherwise we find ourselves with hundreds of thousands of songs or tens of thousands of songs, which are very difficult to analyse. So what I'm going to do over the next 2 weeks is look at a certain number of genres, in order to give you an idea of how genres work. And I'm going to start today with folk and music hall variety. So really, I think one of the important things about genres, I spoke last week about genre constraints. Some things are difficult to do if you don't choose the right genre. For example, if you want to write a song about how wonderful it is because spring is arriving, it may be more difficult if you want to write this as a heavy metal song, because in general, heavy metal does not write about this kind of things. That's a genre constraint. And in any case, one of the most important things about genres is that they have a particular kind of values, that they valorize certain aspects. And this is very often why we like them. That is to say, we do not like genres, you know, like reggae, for example. People do not like reggae only because of the sounds of the music. It's also because of the kind of ideas and values that it puts across. Love and very often in the Bob Marley form, love and peace and relaxing and smoking pot, and also protest against injustice and a Rastafarian millenarist imagination of the future when liberation will come. So let's have a look at some genres then. I'm going to begin with folk music. Now, folk music has very different meanings in different countries. In countries where urbanization and industrialization are recent or incomplete, folk music can be basically something which old people like because they think that the old times was better. Now, this was partly the case in some parts of Spain when I lived there in the 1980s, that the traditional regional folk was really for rather conservative, traditional, nostalgic people. Now, in England, this is not the case. The reason it's not the case is that in England, Nobody has grandparents who worked in agriculture in the villages, or almost nobody. The urbanisation of England was the first in the world. In 1850, there were more people in towns than in villages. And today, you know, almost nobody's grandparents have a memory of village life. And therefore, when we have folk in Britain, it still sings about village life, but it tends to be vaguely anti-capitalist or hippie in tone and in ambiance. So it's similar themes in that it's about traditional village life, but it's not normally associated to conservatives, more associated with vaguely left-wing people. So I've written here some of the main characteristics of English folk music, which are very similar for Scottish folk music, Irish folk music. And interestingly enough, we talk about English folk music or Irish folk music and not about British folk music, because British means belonging to the whole island or even sometimes to the whole United Kingdom. For example, like punk rock, we talk about British punk rock because the people who sing it, who sang it in Belfast or who sang it in Glasgow, dreamt of going to London to sing it. It was the same themes, it was the same situation. Whereas folk is not like that. Folk in England is about what was village life like in England, and it doesn't have much connection, and the traditional instruments are very often local. So what does folk put forward generally, as a general rule? Hello, did somebody say something there? No. Okay. Yes, I think there may be people needing to get rid of their microphones there. I'm sure I can do this if I knew how to. Participant. Arrêtez vidéo. There we go. I found it. Okay, got it. It's okay. It can happen to anybody. Let's not be mean about this. Right. So these are the things you generally find with folk music. Traditional themes, village life, village fairs, gypsies, witchcraft, stealing animals from the Lord's forests, conflicts between peasants and lords, the harvest, sowing the ground, being in love with nature. All of these are typical themes of folk, and very often they are played with traditional instruments. So in Ireland you have that special drum that you play like this, and of course in Ireland and in Scotland you have the bagpipes, and in England there are also traditional instruments which I can't remember right now. Something very important in folk, because it's about this idea of being natural, getting closer to nature. Now, this is not necessarily true. This is an impression, and so it's unsurprising that the voice is foregrounded. The voice is extremely important. You don't have a saturated sound like, you know, heavy metal or techno, where there's the sound on everywhere. You have a very important place left to the voice. So let me give you, now, I know hundreds of folk songs, but I can only give you like three or four, so you just have to put up with it. This is Sandy Denny, who is one of the best known English folk singers.
Female lamenting for her Geordie. My Geordie will be hung with a golden chain. 'Tis not the chain, oh Manny. He stole 16 of the king's royal deer, and he sold them in Bowenny. Go saddle me my milk white steed. Go saddle me my pony, that I may ride to London's courts to plead for the life of Geordie.
So So we have most of these characteristics here, the foregrounding of the voice. Now, you like it or you don't like it, I don't really mind or indeed care. A very old story. What is this story? The story is that her husband or her lover or her partner is going to be hung, executed. Why? Because he stole deer, animals, from the king's forest. And she's going to go to London to plead with the judge so that her partner is not hung. Now, obviously, this is not 21st century stuff. So this is the old life, a rather negative side of the old life, because this was absolutely true. People really were executed for stealing animals from the king's forest. The foregrounding of the voice, very simple instrumentation, and so on. So there's something relatively typical about this. Now, because they're quite often quite sad, and they very much stay within the traditional world. So you'll find that my partner is a soldier, my partner is a shoemaker. There's a very well-known one, My Johnny Was a Shoemaker. Notice that nobody seems to sing folk songs saying, my boyfriend is a computer scientist. It doesn't seem to fit with then the values of folk. So another important value of folk is the reworking of old songs, to sing again in a new way songs which have been sung for a very long time. And I have I do have another one here. This one is called Matty Groves. It's an extremely well-known folk song. There have been dozens and dozens of different versions. And what happens is that when the Lord is away hunting, a few days away, his wife, the lady, goes to bed with a young peasant. But one of the servants of the Lord goes to get the Lord and comes back, and they have a sword fight, and the peasant is killed, and then the Lord kills his lady and buries them together. It's a very, very typical folk. There's lots of blood, lots of people dying. Sometimes people die of a broken heart, and then their lover arrives, and because seeing that they have died of a broken heart, also dies of a broken heart. You know, it's that sort of life, yeah. So this one is Matty Groves. I think you get the idea. Ça va pas bien finir. It's not going to end well, indeed. Now, this is an interesting, it's a very old song, very popular, very, very old song, hundreds of years old, or at least a couple of hundred years old. And it's unsurprising why it was popular, because in this song, the peasant goes to bed with the lady. What's not to like? However, the status quo is re-established at the end when the peasant gets killed. On the other hand, he also has a victory because the Lord says to his lady, do you prefer me or do you prefer this peasant who I have just killed? And having a very approximate grasp of the balance of forces, she says, I would rather kiss this dead peasant than kiss you. And so he promptly kills her and stuff. Fairly melodramatic, I would say. There's also very much in folk a valorization of regional traits. When people sing rock, and sometimes when they sing rap, if they're British, there will be a tendency to use American expressions or even American pronunciation, because America is the land of rock and roll, and it is the land of rap to some extent for Anglophones. Of course, that's somewhat different in France, and indeed in my opinion, French rap is more successful than French rock as a general rule. So what else do we have here? Yes, the ideology of authenticity. Why do people want to, in Britain today, listen to songs about village life and harvests, whereas most of them are like me, and that they discovered recently that tomatoes don't grow all the year round. You know, we're not close to agriculture in Britain at all. So why do people want to sing this? Well, no doubt there is an idea that, you know, popular music is a space to dream in, so dreaming of a past which was simpler, more beautiful, more authentic is a fairly obvious thing to want to do. Just like if you take many other kinds of music, singing about dancing all night long is very popular, whereas in fact, you know, especially if you take your entire life from the age of one till the age of, let's choose some really old age, like 60, the amount of time that you will spend dancing all night is relatively limited. So finally, this is what folk music is sometimes criticised for. People talk about the imagined village. It's just a fantasy. Village life was never really like that. And so on and so forth. Now, although the original folk music may have been very voice orientated and not very orientated towards electricity, recent folk does much more, quite often speeds it up and so on. So here you have a song from about a traditional song sung about 25 years ago by Kirsty MacColl, "The Bell of Belfast City," and this is a very classic theme for folk music, in that it is a warning to women, be careful of the men, which of course is even more important in village life, because if you in a time when they didn't have contraception, if you accidentally got pregnant, this could be an enormous problem.
Tell me, ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull my hair, they stole my comb. Well, that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty. She is the belle of Belfast City. She is a courting one, two, three. Pray, won't you tell me how?
Okay, you only get very little bits of it. Yes, so this is a rather faster, more modern version of a traditional song. And as I will be showing you in a moment, it's not at all... one mustn't think that folk music is old, or is simply old. It still has a following today, as I will be showing you. Sandy Denny, this is the first singer you saw, and here you have Steel I Span, who were one of the most popular groups in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. Now, folk music also includes a lot of songs about work. Which is interesting, because if you look at, you know, trance music or hip-hop or reggae, you don't get a lot of songs about work. Nevertheless, people spend a lot of time at work, whereas traditional songs often speak quite a lot about work. And indeed, this one is a sailor's song. It's about sailing.
I'm way, way, way below the land down. I'm a flying fish sailor just home from Hong Kong. Give me some time to blow the man down. So I spat in his face and I stove in his jaw. Hey, way, hey, blow the man down. He says, look here, young fella, you're breaking the law. Give me some time to blow the man down.
Well, yes, so work songs is one of the option that comes in. Now, folk music then came originally from the village and is very, very old, some of it. We had the first documents we have about English folk music come from the 16th century, but there's every reason to believe that it's much older than that. However, it has always had, because it's traditional English, It's always had a political role in different debates. So as during the 19th century, England became more and more urbanized, more and more industrialized, some people, especially middle-class people, very often vicars, very often Anglican priests, considered that there was a terrible danger that folk music and folk dancing was going to disappear. And so you had a whole group of collectors of folk music going from village to village and noting down, finding the old people and noting down the traditional songs. Of course, they couldn't record them. There was no technology for that. They also encouraged, as a sort of pressure group, encouraged the government to teach children in schools folk music. School became obligatory in Britain in 1870. And of course, they wanted to teach the children reading, writing and arithmetic, as they used to say. But also, they did want to have other things involved. And one of the ideas was music. What kind of music should you teach to children? And they decided somehow that they didn't want to teach musical, which was the commercial comic songs of the time, which were sometimes quite rude still in the 19th century. And they decided that, you know, folk music would represent the best of being English and therefore should be taught in schools. And indeed, even when I was young, we learned a lot of folk music in school. I suspect this is still the case today. In fact, one of my friends on Facebook the other day said that her children were doing folk dancing at school. So interesting idea that folk, indeed, if you in British schools in general, you'll probably learn folk music and some classical music, but very little or no modern popular music. In any case, these group of middle-class people who were frightened that folk music were going to disappear went around and collected hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs. And here you have volume one. There were five volumes of the Child Ballads. Francis James Child, who was the coordinator, and other people worked with him, and they went from village to village. Oh, can you sing us an old song? And we'll write it down. This tremendous collection is often used today by folk singers. Well, they will go back. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. They go back. Hey, nobody sings that one very often. Let's do a new version of that. And in 1904, I think, the English Folk Dance and Song Society was established to encourage dancing of English folk dance and the singing of English folk song, really with the idea that this would help English identity or English patriotism or something. Now, as I said, that's one way of seeing folk music as a strengthener of English national identity. But there are many ways of seeing folk music, but two basic ones. One is that there's been people, and I will talk more about them, who've seen English traditional folk music as something, you know, that shows that the English are better and makes us feel more in touch with our national community. Whereas other people have said, well, no, really, folk music is the people's music, and it's not the music of the elite. And so folk music often involves rebellion, even if it's symbolic rebellion, like the peasant who goes to bed with the lady. Singing about work is also about valorising ordinary people. So you've got these two visions of what folk music really is. I'm not saying that one is right or one is wrong. I don't think you can say that. But also, the way in which you sing the songs also can be connected to these different ways. So those people who like to think that folk music is part of a conservative national tradition that makes us proud to be English might like, in particular, singers like the King's Singers who sing folk songs in a particular way.
The moon looks out from the gloaming. O ye that take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland afar. But me and my true love will never meet again.
This is a Scottish song, an extremely famous Scottish song, almost an informal national anthem. It's very, very simple. You take the high road and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland before you, and me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. It's very simple, but it's a national patriotic song for Scotland. And if it's sung in that way, it's choral, so it's connected to classical music, high culture, even religious music, if you like. However, you can sing the same song in a completely different way.
Were as cold as the death of bonny banks, all of Loch Lomond may bloom. The king hay his aim, and fond lovers will meet in the gloaming. And me and my true love will yet meet again, far above the bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
And you can see there, that's with the bagpipes, and more traditional, more popular, more people's music. Now, some of this music can be a little difficult for us today, because life and music goes faster today, and so many folk music singers have tried to do more modern versions. And this is Runrig doing the same song, and this is a folk rock group. Okay, so there you go. Now, the final political thing I wanted to mention about folk music is that in the United States in the 1950s, Woody Guthrie wrote a large number of folk songs about the life of poor people and so on. Hundreds and hundreds of them became extremely well known and was supported by the Communist Party over there. Now, the American and the British Communist Party are both different from the French one, because the French one was a mass party with hundreds of thousands of people in it. Whereas in America and Britain, the communist parties were always a few thousand people, but with quite a lot of influence. And indeed, in Britain, it was a British communist, Ewan McCall, and Peggy Seeger, his American wife, who decided to write folk music for today, folk music for the working class. So, for example, they wrote a whole album about workers who were building the first motorway in Britain, and they went to interview the workers about what the life was like. Many of them were Irish, they'd travelled over, and then they wrote folk songs about their lives. And this is another one about fishermen. So they had a whole series of what they called radio ballads, which were groups of songs written today, but in a folk tradition, first of all, because regional accents, foregrounding of voice and so on, and secondly, because they were about the lives of ordinary people. And now I have one here, I think, I hope so. Where's it gone? I definitely did have it. Ewan McCall and... Just way, oh yes, that's where it is. So here we have a Ewan McCall and Peggy Seeger.
good all met together here to sit and to crack, with our glasses in our hands and our work upon our back. And there's no a treat among them all, can neither min nor mack. If it wasn't for the work of the weavers, if it wasn't for the weavers, what would we do? We wouldn't he cloth made of our wool. We wouldn't he a coat neither black nor blue. Gin it wasn't for the work of the weavers. The hireman shields, they mock us and crack eye of boots. They say that we are thin-faced, bleached like clouts. And yet for all their mockery, they canna do we utes. Nah, they winna want the work of the weavers. If it wasn't for the weavers, what would we do? We wouldn't he cloth made of our wool. We wouldn't he a coat neither black nor blue. Gin it wasn't for the work of the weavers.
Now, first of all, perhaps I ought to say to you that this song is in English. This is in Scottish dialect of English, and so it can be a little bit difficult. Very typical of what of this kind of song. It's simply a thank you song to weavers who make cloth, who make clothes. And it says, you know, it's cold outside, and if the weavers didn't do their work, we wouldn't have a coat. And thank you to the weavers. So a very interesting idea, using popular music to valorise work, the work of ordinary people. And so this is the sort of communist idea, to try to challenge the idea that we're all individuals and we buy things and they're ours, but actually to be interested in who does the work. Who are the premiers de corvée, as we've been saying this year? So that's another thing that has been done with folk. Now, I can't talk any more about folk. Fairport Convention, one of the most well-known people, and the Doublers and the chieftains who made Irish folk music particularly popular in the 70s and 80s. But just to finish on folk, I'd just like to point out, as Ron Wigan and the Pogues, yes, the Pogues were kind of interesting, because the Pogues did something else which was particularly, which was different, and that is that they mixed together punk music and folk music. In one of the great finales, they sang a traditional folk song, which they sang with the Dubliners. Now, the Dubliners were an old-fashioned folk song, group from Ireland, whereas the Pogues were a punk group. But they sang it together. They sang one verse each. So I think I'll just do two verses if I can do that. So this is the old man who is the traditional folk singer.
From the street called the car, we were sailing away with the cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. But a wonderful craft she was rigged for the daft, and now how the wild wind over, she stood several blasts. She had 27 masts, and they called her the Irish Rover.
Well,
and this is the punk voice.
Right, so we had 2 million barrels of oil. We had 3 million barrels of our nanny goat's tails. We had 4 million barrels of stone. We had 5 million dogs, 6 million herds, 7 million barrels of porn. We had 8 million hides of our blind horses' hides. And all that the Irish Rover.
And so you got something rather new there, this mix of traditional family community singing and the punk rock, and also part of this Irish tradition of everybody is welcome, come as you are, which is an important tradition within Ireland. Now, just to finish, absolutely on folk, it mustn't be thought that it's old. Some younger people are involved. I know she must seem old to you because she was born in 1973, but there you go. But even today, every year, there is a Young Folk Award organised, 2019. I say every year, not in 2020 because of the epidemic. BBC Radio 2, which is the national radio the most with the highest numbers of listeners in the country, produces the Young Folk Award, where they have a series of young people playing folk music, and they have a competition, and you have the winner, and so that there is the winner from 2017, and that's the winner from 2019. So as I was saying about genres, they usually don't die. They become popular and then much less popular, and niche music. Just as when I was a teenager many years ago, punk rock was the new sound. The new exciting sound was punk rock. And of course today it's much less popular, but it hasn't disappeared. Or as they often say, punk is not dead. I just want to go on to one more genre before I finish today. I've got about another 10 minutes, I think. This is music hall and variety. Now music hall and variety was the most popular music from 1880 to 1920, but continued as one of the popular forms of music throughout the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, and here we have one. Here we have a song from the Second World War by George Formby. There he is, it's called "Our Fanny's Gone All Yankee." And what it's a song about, he's a Lancashire man. He sings with a Lancashire accent, and what he's singing about is his sister, because at this time there were a lot of American soldiers in England, and they were healthier, richer, and cuter than the British, who had been through the whole of the war. And so he's saying that she's got an American boyfriend, and therefore she's doing a lot of funny things.
We're shedding scram. Our Fanny's gone all Yankee, and she talks in her sleep about her boyfriend's Jeep. Our Fanny's gone all Yankee. Woodbine she used to smoke, now she thinks that they're a joke. With the Camel in her mouth, she's very swanky. She drinks whiskey, gin and rum, and she's always chewing gum, 'cause our Fanny's gone all Yankee. She never mentions e-bye gum no more. Okay, big boy, says you'll hear her say. Now Fanny says she's lots of plans in store, 'cause her doorboy's promised taking her away.
So, music hall. This is late music hall after 1945, but nevertheless, it still has a certain force behind it. Notice that music hall is not tragic and is very rarely romantic. It is supposed to be humorous. Yeah, humorous, fun. Family fun, that's the centre of music hall, and I think I probably have one more. Yes.
Soon Dad fell down the stairs and dropped his paper hanger's can on little Henrietta sitting there with her young man. The place stuck them together as we thought would be for life. We had to call the parson in to make them man and wife. When Father came to the parlour, you couldn't see half a paste. Dabbing it here, dabbing it there, paste and paper everywhere. Mother was stuck at the ceiling, the kids were stuck at the floor. I never knew a blooming family so stuck up before.
So it's just a funny story about what happened when Father was changing the wallpaper and everything went wrong. Okay, so here we can see one of the things I think important about music hall and variety is that unlike progressive rock and rap and even reggae to some extent, the singers of music hall do not think, I am an artist and I have a message for the world. Not at all. And they do not think, I am the voice of the new generation, or I am the voice of the poor parts of town. Not at all. They are entertainers, and they think of it as a job. And so, for example, they would typically sing their song the same way every night. Now, before everybody had a radio, this was okay. You sing the song the same way every night. It doesn't matter. The audience have never heard it before. Once you got into modern recorded music, with rock and roll and then progressive rock, punk rock, reggae, it became a problem. And normally, if we go to see one of our favourite groups or singers, we often Now, I'm not sure if this is the case in every genre, but we often would be disappointed if they sang it exactly like they sang it on the record. They're supposed to give you something new. And this is certainly... Max Bygraves, then. Max Bygraves, a singer, a series of amusing songs, was fairly popular on the television as well. Fairly mainstream things. I'll see if we can find one of his here. Maybe not. Okay, maybe not. So I just had one more. I do need one more example, and then I'll be able to let you all go. So one more musical example. What do we have here? Yes, probably this one. Perhaps you can understand that when you hear this, that's about sing as we go. You know, everybody smile. It's a happy day. You know, and obviously this is not supposed to be popular music, which is rebellious. They are not going to sing political songs to denounce this or that or the other or anything. Yeah, that was not the role of the time. Now, there are economic reasons for this. Interestingly enough, very often the stars came from working class families and became massively popular. And indeed, Gracie Fields, who was just singing there, was known to the masses as Our Gracie, yeah, Une des Nôtres, and which was... It had a little rebellious side, because whereas, you know, all the classical concerts and all the great art is done by rich bourgeois people who we never meet, this is one of ours, and she is filling the theatres with people and appearing on the television on a Saturday night, and so people are happy because people like them have got some. And this is a very common reaction within popular music, that certain rap stars appear to be a symbol of compensation, that, you know, we might live in the poor part of town, suffer from this and that, and if we're black, suffer from racism. But some of ours are the richest and the most famous people in the world, and this is a little bit of a compensation. That is all I have time for today in the videos, which I'm going to post. And next week, which is the last week, I will be giving you a few more genres. I'm not going to do them all. I'm going to give you a selection of genres so that you get to think about what a genre is and how it works. If you have more questions, don't hesitate to send me an email. You may leave. Goodbye for now. Thank you for listening.